Hi, I'm Yusuf Zine. My latest TVO Today podcast is on how a Canadian ends up in a Chinese prison and if he's even alive. Listen and subscribe to Extradition. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Help TVO create a better world through the power of learning. Visit TVO.org and make a tax-deductible donation today.
Remember back in 2009 when spray tans and tanning beds were all the rage? Well, so were solar panels. Especially after the feed-in tariff, or FIT program, was established in Ontario, incentivizing people to capture clean and renewable energy.
It was financially quite rewarding.
Homeowners got cash back from the provincial government for energy they fed back to the grid.
Everybody jumped in. All different companies jumped in. It was a big boom in the industry.
It was a green gold rush. Solar companies cropped up everywhere.
The MicroFIT program allowed homeowners to get up to 80 cents back per kilowatt. That was a big difference compared to what we currently pay on average, about 10 cents per kilowatt. It developed a bad reputation, which had an unintended consequence of increasing other people's electricity bills.
Unplugging the feed-in tariff, or FIT program.
It didn't slow down the solar industry, though.
Fast forward 15 years to net metering, and this is where we are now. Homeowners don't get cash back, but they do get credits, substantially reducing their energy bills each month.
It's a booming industry right now.
Master electricians all over Ontario are leading the charge in serving customers ready to transition off of fossil fuel dependency and prepare for some unpredictable climate scenarios.
They want to do something good for the environment. They'd like to save a little bit on their hydro bills. And the other thing is, they'd like to solve the problem of when the power goes out, how can they have resiliency?
Resiliency requires more players in the power game.
If we put the solar on the roof, when the power goes out, the solar will turn off and the house will be dark. It needs another piece. It needs a battery. Once you incorporate a battery into it, now the solar has somewhere to go. The battery will help to pick up when the power goes out. And you could actually, depending on the balance, have a situation where there is no power from the grid. The solar is charging the battery, discharging into the house, and you might have enough to keep yourself going for a day or two just on that, or just on the battery itself.
Imagine getting off the grid in the city, no need to live in a cabin out in the woods somewhere, though that would be nice too.
Adding these two things together is very powerful.
This is a representation of what's happening at this house under that net metering program. Mark's house, illustrated right here, this is powering Mark's home, but as you can see, it's not 100% of the power he needs, so he's pulling a little bit from the grid. We could pull a little bit of power from the battery, but right now it's standing by in case a grid goes down and we need that battery power to power the home.
Maybe at night, when we don't have solar, maybe the battery will pick up. Some of the energy that was made during the day could be discharged at night. And if the house had a lower requirement than my house does, maybe this would all just be enough. We wouldn't need much from the grid at all. And that would be very appealing. And ultimately, when you get your bill at the end of the month, this is reflected there. All the energy that you put back in is indicated, and at what time you put it in and what cost it was, and the other way around. And so that's a nice feeling to be able to have some payback, and also the environmental choice that you made is actually paying off, and you have something sort of in black and white to see that.
And the software that we use will actually predict your total amount of electricity over an entire year.
Enter Peak Power, a clean tech software company at the forefront of the energy transition, founded in Ontario. It believes that battery energy storage has the potential to transform the energy sector.
Our software addresses the need for solutions on the electricity grid to enable the decarbonization transition and provide solutions to climate change. So the way we do that is by allowing batteries, buildings, and electric vehicles to participate in the grid and provide grid services. And that enables our customers who are large commercial and industrial sites to save money on their energy bills at the same time as reducing GHG emissions and helping support the grid.
Different jurisdictions have different ways of managing those peak hours and incentivizing homeowners with pricing. Just like in Ontario, we know which hours are best to turn on and off the dishwasher or do the laundry, don't we?
The way it works in Ontario for very large energy users is there are basically five peak hours in the province, and some commercial and industrial buildings can see two-thirds, even three-quarters of their energy bills for the entire year can be set in just those 5 hours. So that those 5 hours are usually hot summer weekdays when everybody in the province has their air conditioning turned up high. And it means all of our grid infrastructure has to be sized to meet the demand in those particular hours. And so by incentivizing customers to reduce their usage in those hours, it enables it reduces that, you know, those moments that are most expensive, that put most strain on the grid, and that are also the times where we have the highest emissions, because that's when you turn on every power station that there is, including the old, less efficient ones. Predicting those 5 hours of when the grid demand is going to be highest is actually where we started as a company. That's our core expertise, because it relies extensively on all sorts of factors, including weather. So we actually have in-house meteorologists who are looking at weather patterns to identify when are those peak hours going to be. And that enables us to create a forecasting signal, which we use for operating the batteries that are in our own portfolio, and also that we can provide to others so that they know those are the hours to reduce demand as much as possible, to dispatch batteries, to use power from batteries instead of power from the grid, because those are the most expensive hours for a facility. I think what I'm looking forward to is seeing this transition. It's going to be a fascinating time. It's going to be the period of the fastest change that the utility sector has seen since utilities came into existence. And as policy changes, as regulations change, we're going to see the grid become, one word we like to use is democratized. So today, mostly the participants in our grid are large centralized power plants. Today, what peak power is doing is enabling large commercial and industrial buildings to participate, to save money, to make money, to provide services. And in not too long from now, individuals and residential customers or anybody driving an electric vehicle will have the opportunity to participate in the grid and help reduce the emissions of the grid, help improve the resiliency and reliability of their local grid, and generate money for providing those services.
Leading the charge and democratizing the energy grid, a transition to a green world.
The Agenda with Steve Paikin is made possible through generous philanthropic contributions from viewers like you. Thank you for supporting TVO's journalism.